So I hope this is working.
Hello, Scarborough Dude. This is Brendan. I am 35.
I have been in West Virginia for 12 years. Before that, I was in Ireland for 23 years. I think that's 35, right?
Been listening to podcasts since shortly after its inception in 2005. So I'm not sure why I have not become a regular listener until now. The first episode I've listened to by you was late November, where you asked new listeners to contact you. But that was downloaded because I discovered you through Tim Coyne and his Twitter posts about the show. But we have another podcasting acquaintance, Keith McNally, in Canada somewhere. Is he in Montreal now? I forget. Vancouver? Anyway, so I guess you were on his XO. Was it a year ago or two? But for some reason, that was not enough to hook me. But listening to like a full episode was enough, and I'm looking forward to hearing more. Honesty in podcasting is something I crave. I also enjoy the Overnightscape. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's been going on since before podcasting was invented. It's more like a pop culture based than, you know, deep thinking, Timothy Leary based. I recorded a few episodes on the Overnightscape. I think if you search for Pocket Overnightscape and then navigate to Brendan, you'll find them. But some of them might be quite tedious. I did not keep my recordings to an hour or less. I used to contact Tim Coyne like this back in the day, sending voice messages, but I have not done it in years. I'm walking on the streets of Charleston, West Virginia. It's not raining now, but it's wet, as you might be able to hear. Speaking into my trusty iRiver, which I've had since, I think, 05. It's a 1 gigabyte model, battery operated. Somehow all my other recording devices have gotten lost or sold along the way. So I've got this and an iPod that does not record. And now I'm heading into work. Office job, not very demanding. A lot of my time is spent looking for music or podcasts or books or something. Anyway, I'm sure we'll be in touch again. Thank you. And good night.
Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
What's the title of this thing? No title again?
I'm begging on maybe a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Yep. I have just come back from the movie Lincoln, and I want to talk about it a bit. It had an impact on me. I'm very, what's the word? Somebody who can just change from one thing to another. Easily influenced by media, and especially movies, books as well. And I came out, I mean, halfway through the film, I was really cheering America. I think if you've listened to these podcasts, there's been a lot of bad-mouthing of America, and not in a mean-spirited way, but just in sort of looking at the things like the CIA involvement, like the overthrow of democratic governments, like all... I don't want to get started on that. But there's a lot of crappy things America's done. It's got a history of war. But this film was very powerful, and you could almost... understand war? No, you don't. You don't want to. They certainly pointed out the horror of the war, and in particular the American Civil War. My God, that nation. You people. Your history. Holy fuck. But the only reason I'm talking now is that it's almost like I want to apologize. I want to say, yeah, but I understand? No, I don't know if that's it. It's easy to shit on America, and I think it's really now that America is down in terms of the economy and public relations and so many fiascos with Iraq and the mess in Afghanistan and this Arab Spring and the support for Israel and all the crap that's got so many people concerned, and in particular the polarization of the country during this last election between the Republicans and Democrats, and in particular the fringe groups like the Tea Party, those radicals, those crazies. It all resonated while watching this movie. You know, you're going back in time, but you're obviously, and it was the intention of Spielberg, I'm sure, to apply it to today and to the how difficult it is to win some issues, and where are principles, and how much do you have to compromise in the game of politics. It was wonderful in that way of just sort of, you had to pay attention, okay? It's not like a chick flick, and I don't mean this wasn't for women. I mean, it's not the kind of thing you go and you laugh and you come out and you share popcorn and you're chattering away. You really had to think. It's the kind of movie that I much prefer to go alone to. I asked my wife. She wasn't interested. And you're just hanging on so many of the conversations. You really, wow, holy fuck. It resonated, you know? So I'm very impressed. I thought it was a great movie. I don't know what else. I'm recording this now because I don't think this was probably the start of yet another podcast, but I wanted to talk while it was fresh in my mind. And I wanted to really make that point that it's easy to beat up on America. It's easy to portray them as the bad guy. But when you think about some of America's history and what it's done and what it stood for, holy fuck, that's important. And the world, I think, owes a lot of gratitude to America when it's been at its best. Not necessarily when we think back to the Iraq War, the Vietnam War, I don't know about the Korean War. But the ideals, let's say, that America represented, once represented, could represent again, if we'd quit beating up on her, that would be great. And again, seeing this movie in the from the perspective of having a black man in the White House, holy shit, America, you done well, you come a long way, because that's not that long ago, 1865, when you're talking about the passage to defeat slavery. God damn, slaves! You had slavery, and this was a close battle to bring about an end to it. And the people, those religious zealots who were saying this is God made the white man superior, you know, that holy fuck. So I guess it's kind of scary that many people with that kind of thinking existed then only, you know, 150 years ago and exist now. You know, maybe not in that sense, but it also made you think about the battles that had to be fought. Yeah, am I peeking here? I'm sorry. The issues of equality and gender equality, and I was trying to think, how does gay rights fit into that thing? And is this like an obvious thing, like down the road, like how could those people have denied benefits to same-sex couples? Or is that saying, oh, no, you've gone too far. It's one thing if a man is black and is a slave and you free him, but it's an entirely different arbitrary thing if you're talking about gay rights issues. And I'd like to think, no, it's just one more set of rights of treating people equally and with dignity. And it must go on from there. I think the other thing about the movie is you think about all the good, perhaps that, gee, I was going to say came about as a result of that civil war. No, there's an awful lot of harm and ugliness. But I guess, yeah, if the North won and the slavery ended, this is a good thing. And you just have to look around the world now where slavery still exists. And there are still fucking pig-headed, cock-sucking, stupid goddamn men who treat women like beasts and who treat other men like beasts and harm them and hurt them and are cruel and are stupid. And it's just, I find it so frustrating. Maybe this is what I'm trying to get to, that while it's easy to pick on the country that's number one, Holy fuck, show me another country that's got a more honorable record. Well, Scandinavia, okay, Canada, okay. Well, they're trying, okay. Now, where we're going with that, I guess what I'm saying is there's just so many other parts of the world where so much greater evil exists. And I just can't imagine how we will defeat this, how there will be more light and understanding when it seems really, as I said on the last podcast, we're heading in the wrong direction. Or so it would seem. A little point, I think it's related, and it certainly occurred to me during the movie. I was never afraid of the communists. Like, and it's kind of funny that, well, they were the bad guy. That was the great evil. That was the great Satan that had to be destroyed. This is the excuse you could use for the Cold War against China, for the Korean War, the Vietnamese War, stop the evils of communism. And people of my generation, many were, you know, most of us, I think, we're never afraid of that boogeyman. This was just the government creating another enemy to distract us from whatever else was going on. And I wonder if I've been duped by Islam. My anxiety, my paranoia, my fear of fanatics. And I don't just mean the ones who want to blow up the, or blew up the American Trade Center, the World Trade Center. In New York. Those aren't the ones I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of just the masses who are uneducated and are holding up their Qurans and waving in the air and saying, this is our the destiny for mankind. All other religions are heresy, and this must be the force, the driving force in the world, and we must convince and change more people. And as long as there are people with that mindset, how do you deal with them other than war, fighting, suppression, pushing back? And that kind of disturbs me. And it disturbs me that maybe it's just another boogeyman and I've been played and I'm my paranoid. Because I subscribe, as I've said, to websites when they talk about the Islamization of Europe and the changes people want to bring and the this way of life of which I don't see. I don't see the purity of Islam. I don't see the people being freed and treated equally and rising the poor up and so on. I still see women being treated unfairly and education, especially Western values, being suppressed and fought against. And I'm only saying this because if I've been played and I'm wrong and I've just, the media has just sort of had fun with me because I really don't know the truth, then of course I'm sorry. But if any of this is possibly true, and my God, there are so many things pointing the way of an oncoming battle. It's not the communists. It's this religious war that's coming up. My God, the stupidity of a religious war. But the stupidity of those Christians, the ones of Lincoln's time, the ones now, the stupidity of the Muslims who blindly just read the Quran and will be led by whatever leader anoints himself and says, this is what you must believe, and this is the way, and this is the truth. Praise be to Allah. That frightens me and pisses me off. I guess that's the last point I want to make, if I'm making any points at all here, is I really do feel America is enlightened, and it is, even with all its mistakes and its harms and its wrong wars and all the things America has done wrong, that it is still a beacon of light. And I guess I walked out of that movie, Lincoln, feeling, I want to cheer on America. I want to be a supporter. I want to stop kicking America because it's so easy to do that. And I want to tell my American friends and listeners, hey, I'm sorry if I've said some nasty things about your country and your history. But truthfully, I would love to see America restored to being the shining light in the world, the example that people say, yes, those freedoms, that democracy, those values, I want those brought back. I want America to inspire the world. But of course, to do that, we need an America that truly is true to itself and is capable of doing the right thing. What are those values? Justice, equality, freedom. Okay, I guess I unloaded a little bit. I hope you didn't mind that. And I guess this will be the podcast of next week or next week or whatever the hell it is. It doesn't really matter. It's time for me to go home and get myself a beer. Talk to you later, folks. Scarborough Dude signing out with just one more rant. Bye-bye.
Look at Dolly. Pretty Dolly. Oh, here she come. Pretty Dolly. When Dolly hear them sounding drum, up she jump and she holla, here I come. When Dolly hear them sounding drum, up she jump and she holla, here I come. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. Don't stop her when she hear the call, Dolly Dawn going to have herself a ball. Don't stop her when she hear the call, Dolly Dawn going to have herself a ball. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. When Dolly start to shake and shout, clear the floor, cause she really move about. When Dolly start to shake and shout, clear the floor, cause she really move about. For she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. When Dolly go into a turn, old men jump and their eyes begin to burn. When Dolly go into a turn, old men jump and their eyes begin to burn. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. Soon Dolly go into a fall, turn and spin, then she start to climb the wall. Soon Dolly go into a fall, turn and spin, and then she climb the wall. Cause she gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing, she gonna cause the rafters to ring. She gonna dance, she gonna sing.
Chick, chick, chick. Bluffers Park on a cold and windy day. The waves are rough. Oh, there's one surfer out. Complete in the wetsuit, of course. I just can't see the pleasure in that. Oh, there's a bunch of them. And, yeah, I'm sitting in my car with the windows up. I'm not even going to venture outside today. Except for when I head off to the only cafe. That's probably where I'm going to go tonight. In fact, I know I'm going there tonight because I'm, you know, sometimes you get this image of a pint glass full of beer. I don't want a pitcher, a glass like with only a third left. I want to see that full pint that you just get up and you buy it. You just about put it on Ken's tab, would you? Now, don't you say that. Don't you say that. I get to say that. And it's just such a good... Holy fuck. The car nearly hit me. Yeah. An empty parking lot and cars are fighting each other. It's such a good feeling to go in there. And, of course, they're all such great pints at the Only. So, well, you've heard so much about that. I guess that's where I'm heading today. I'm trying to line up a meeting with somebody else at a coffee shop to discuss a literacy program. You know, I'm kind of in a serious mood. I want to... Planning for the future a little bit of things I want to do in my life. The things that mean something. I need some money to come in. I mean, I can't just do all volunteering, but I would start at least volunteering if necessary. But I've had the thought for a long time. I have this wonderful office that we just don't use. And we're renting it out, part of it, to another mediator. But we've kept it for years. I mean, it's just money, you know, out the drain. But I'm sharing, splitting the cost. So $442 a month rent. It's not bad. $221 each. But I've imagined the kind of people, the down and out, the Salvation Army types, I guess I'm thinking about, who just don't have literacy skills and can't partake in a lot of things. And you know, kind of thing that Frontier College does of teaching adults, helping them with reading and literacy and getting them interested in the book and getting discussions. And I've met somebody who planned such an excellent program for the people that we work with, the Youth Justice Committee, the kids who are in trouble at schools, sometimes just slow learners, sometimes just too many issues going on at home and they just can't get around to studying and they're falling way behind and it will continue and it will haunt them throughout life. It'll follow them, you know, it's going to really limit their job potential So the idea of having a course, and I'm thinking, hey, now I got an office here. We've got a perfect setup for small group, and it's something I've been thinking about doing in the future. Anyway, why don't we talk? This is a person that's good at getting proposals and stuff. So I guess maybe I'm glad that instead of sitting here thinking, I want to escape or I want to do something just totally self-indulgent. This is a bit because it's something I would get satisfaction from. I'm enjoying thinking about the possibility of doing something that's good for the community, helping and sort of a way of, again, you've heard on this podcast many times before, trying to bridge the various selves, trying to join them together. So there's the teacher Ken, there's the mediator, the counselor type Ken, is the podcaster Ken. I guess that's sort of the technology side, because I'm thinking, hey, if you get funding, you get iPads for these guys, it'd really give them some motivation to join this course. And there's just a whole lot of different parts of self, and I'm not ready to stop yet. I can't afford to anyway, but I want to continue to make my life worth living. Is that what I mean? Or giving back, you know, being on the plus side of the equation. I guess that's what I'm talking about. Listen, by the way, I'm really struggling with this. I sat here for the longest time listening to Vinyl Countdown, one of the more disgusting episodes. God damn that show. In fact, sometimes you know how I'll play a clip from somebody else's audio to draw you into mine. I thought, I can't even use that this time. So, and yet at the same time, I'm addicted to that show. I can't not listen to every single fucking episode. But I don't want that to get in the way. I guess something bothers me. I about that whole crew, I don't feel I have any duty or responsibility to try and even change anybody. Believe me, I don't think that way at all. But there's a part, attraction repulsion, that goes on all the time. Like, who the fuck are these guys? Like, what is their real value in life? Don't they ask themselves? Or are they part of a generation that's just fucked? Is that it? Maybe that's it. And part of the problem, or the difference is not a problem. The difference is just these generations. Anyway, let me park that. I didn't want to even bring that up. Last night, I went out and bought myself a turntable. Now, it's one of these turntables that you plug into your computer with a USB, and you can't hear it. There's no speakers, but it will digitize your record, and you just fire up Audacity on your... I should answer those, shouldn't I? You fire up Audacity on your computer, and then you just drop the needle down on the record and hit record, and it does, and it's beautiful. Who is this? Is it Shane? Oh, no, it's not. It's somebody else. Okay, I got to answer that. Do I take a pause? Hang on. Hang, H-A-N-G, hang on, dot, 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 push, send, there, dealt with that. It is important. Anyway, where were we? Ah, so this thing. So last night it was great, and I've talked about wanting to change up my life a little, like to wean myself away from the TV I bought a year ago and spend more time in the basement. And last night I had a really nice time in the basement with number two son, Chuck, or Joe. And he was picking up all the artifacts I have at my father's shrine. I have these shelves, and believe me, this relates to Final Countdown, because I want to invite them over, but I don't trust those fuckers in my house. That's the problem. I'm thinking the only way I'd ever let any of the Final Countdown come into my house, probably minus Picard 102 and Langtree, is if Joel comes and say, Joel, it's on you. You're the sheriff in town. You keep these guys in line. I don't want anybody stealing my shit. I don't want people breaking anything. I don't want people doing any harm. I don't want people... Because I heard them say one time at a live meeting, gee, we got to get a hold of Ken's son and teach him some bad shit. And then one of the assholes sent me a link for something that he said was for your son. And it was a disgusting picture. And I'm like, you fucking asshole. And it's not one of the regular crew. Somebody's not on anymore. You fucking asshole. I love my sons. They mean a lot to me. Don't fucking send me a fucking porn picture to give to my son, you stupid fucking asshole. You don't know anything about fucking being a parent. You know, ugh, it burned me. Now, see, goddamn, I'm all fucked up by this thing. Here's the issue. I'm going to get back to the basement and the good time with son. We're going to come back to that. But I've been struggling, as I do several times a year when I do this podcast. Every once in a while it'll come up. Why am I doing this? What is the real cost? I say, well, this is my therapy. This is my outlet. This is my fun. This is what makes me feel good doing this podcast. And I'm just having some doubts underneath. Like Barnacle Bill out west refuses to listen, fights with me all the time. And I keep thinking, okay, he won't. And I had another friend who listened and she won't. And of course, my wife doesn't. My sons don't. My family doesn't. So there's all kinds of people who don't want anything to do with this Dixon Jane's podcast. And that's fine, good. I don't want you listening. I don't want any of those people listening. That's not a problem in a way. And yet it's just planting a little seed of doubt about why... What's the cost of this thing? Like, you're doing this. Is there some hidden price to this? Is there something that's being taken away? Like... The issue with Barnacle Bill is always, well, what about your real friends, your true friends? The guys I've traveled with, camped with, known for 20, 30, 40 years, you know? Who are these other people? There's nothing real on the internet, and they're not, he in particular is not making the link. No. Via the internet, buddy, I've met people that I really care about, who I want to see, who I've met at conferences, good people. And I have new friends, and I've moved on. Because I'm living in another city away from my old friends. I chose not to go back to Vancouver. I chose to start a new life in Toronto, and I've had to build a new life here. This is not my hometown. I've been here 20 years now. This is the life I've chosen to make, and I've worked hard at it, and I'm glad of the life I've built around me. So what's wrong with that? But there's a sense that maybe there's something dishonest about this, that the person who's talking to you now is not as sincere as he pretends to be. That there is a certain amount of fakery to this, that I'm creating a self. The self I'm projecting. Well, yeah, you're the Scarborough dude. Yeah. But the Scarborough dude, really, you know, is it somebody else? I was going to say is kin. But I don't know. Let's drop that. Let's go back to the basement. Okay, the nice time, that nice little bubble. Chuck was picking up one thing on it, like pieces of glass that are insulators from my dad's old radio days, and stuff from the bar, and an old bottle that was used to you got these little CO2 cartridges, you put them in and make sparkling water that you'd mix with your drinks, a bar thing, you know, and it was a beautiful, huge glass thing. Kind of things you see on these antique shows that, holy fuck, that's neat. You know, how much you want for that one? You know, the pickers shows that where guys are going through barns and picking out all this neat old shit. Well, I got a basement full of stuff like that. Like, he picked up an ashtray. Dad, this is 1902. Yeah, that's right. King Edward VII, coronation, 1902. My grandmother gave it to my mother gave it to me. That's the kind of thing I don't want somebody from fucking Vinyl Countdown sticking in their pocket. I got to go around and do a check before they leave, search them? Dude, is that not a little unfair to think? And just the fact that you're even saying such a thing is almost like a challenge. Let's see how much you can steal from Scarborough, dude. And it makes me think, why do I want to make that connection? Why do I want to have those people in my basement? Because it's such a cool basement. It's such a great library. It's such a great bar. There's so many amazing books. I've got such a rich place. So, this all ties together. I'm trying to move myself down there, buying the turntable last night so that I could put on Harry Belafonte and the Ray Conniff singers and Joni Mitchell and get MP3 copies of all of these things so that I could give them to you, the listener, on this Dixon James podcast, because you're going to hear right off the bat, what is it that I said I wanted to play for you? I got the Between the Buttons of the Stones. I recorded my favorite songs there. Something Happened to Me Yesterday. Love that song. It's about getting high for the first time, I guess. What was it that I just loved? It was the first song I recorded. Anyway, you'll hear it. So if you're listening to this thing, you're going to hear some scratchy, because I got old LPs that were not kept as collector items, but they were played constantly with old needles that I couldn't afford to buy a new needle, and the diamond wears down, and it just sort of starts cutting other grooves into your vinyl, and they just sound all scratchy and stuff. Ah! Jenny Lee. song. It was a Brothers record. Like, who the hell has a copy of that? And why would anybody? Wow, where did that come from? Why did my brother even have that? So I got my brother's and my sister's records, and oh man, it's fun. So anyway, I know this is a good thing to spend some good quality time with Chuck down in the basement. Here's the, I'm putting this thing right up here. And he said, well, that's shit. You can't hear the song. Why don't you just play the records? I'm thinking about, well, I want to digitize them and share them. But he's sort of saying, hey, if you're down here. So he brought down a pair of speakers, and I got to get an adapter. We got to find some way that we're going to be able to listen to the vinyl down in the basement, which is where he spends a lot of time, using the old Sony TV and his PlayStation. And we're just going to spend that time together. But last night, for the couple of hours we spent down there, as I'm setting this up and getting out my old Carleton University beer stein and pouring myself a pint and getting this set up and saying, look at this, and him going through the closet and handing me the stack of 45s and saying, look at this stuff. And I'm saying, holy shit, there's a copy of Sunshine Superman, a 45 by Donovan, and it's signed by my old girlfriend. And just by coincidence, this is a girlfriend from when I was like 19, 20, 21 years old, like more than 40 years ago. Just by coincidence, I was on Facebook with her today, that same girl from 40, 45 years ago. Holy fuck, are you serious? Yes. And here I am picking up this copy. That's her name. You know, our name's written on it. Well, that's kind of neat. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I just think there's such a wonderful, rich, interesting little world you can explore when you have a mind to. And sometimes I have half a mind to. Anyway, what was great was Chuck picking up each of these pieces and would talk about it. And I'd say, listen, you got to be my keeper. You know, this stuff is going to pass on. And I'd say, you could sell it on eBay. You'd get some money. No, I won't sell it. I'll keep it. And him seeing his dad in his dad's environment, instead of his dad sitting there watching fucking the news on TV in the living room, he's seeing his dad in this other environment with a vinyl collection of records and the bar and artifacts from my father and my book collection, and he sees me in this place and he wants me to spend more time down there, and I want to spend more time there, and that's what this is all about, spending time in a different environment, away from the fact that some asshole fucking gets hold of his mother's guns and comes into an elementary school and shoots 26 people dead. Holy fuck, eh? And that's only one story until the next story comes around, because America, it's going to happen again and again and again and again, because you have a violent fucking culture and it's full of guns and you want your guns and everybody's going to shoot each other. Because that's what it's come down to. Sorry, I didn't really want to get into that. And yet I had to kind of sneak that in there, because you turn on the TV and that's all the fuck you hear. And people cried. I didn't cry. I didn't feel that compassion. I didn't feel the connection. I know maybe I should have. Other people cried. It's just more, makes you feel kind of angry more than anything else. Angry at the stupidity. Angry at the fucking politicians. Say, yeah, hey, it's our right to have guns. It's our amendment, you know. That's what we're built on, you know. And if the Russians ever come, we can shoot them. Because we're all armed. Yeah, well, side effects. You got a lot of mental health issues. Because your country's fucked and your values are fucked. And this is the problem, you see. I don't want to get into it now. Because last time, seems to me I apologize for all the bad things I said about America, and here I go again, saying, oh, fuck, something matter. There's got to be a compromise. You don't want to go the other extreme, the fucking, you know, Sharia law, and cut off the hands, and dress this way, and obey what the priests tell you, and the high officials, you know, and just follow the rules, and everybody will be okay, and we'll erase that. No more singing, no more dancing, no more fucking around on TV, and no more shots of boobies and stuff. It's all wrong. Throw that out somewhere in the middle. There must be some hope. Wouldn't it be nice if that hope was here in Canada? Doubtful. Anyway, I'm sorry to end on that note. I really didn't want to. What I really wanted to talk about was that just that little precious time. That precious time I spent with my son in the basement last night. Going over, and I'm going to go home now from Bluffers Park. I'm going back home now because I got to digitize JB and the Playboys. That old record I've got that I love that I was surprised to find. Here's the clincher. Picture on Facebook last. I'm down the bar and I look at all these vinyls. This is kind of neat. I want to show people. So I take a picture of my, you know, my iPhone and boom, push the link up to Facebook and there it is. Excuse me. And I guess I could take a break in here somewhere before going on or whatever. Who cares? I push that picture up onto Facebook and I get a lot of comments. And later on in the evening, Eric from Tip Tap Tip, says, I know that. Do you know 125 by The Haunted and JB and the Playboys, great band? And I'm sort of saying, hey, don't mess with me, man. You're teasing because you know, you must know that 125 by The Haunted was the first record I ever played, the first song I ever played on the very first episode of Dicks and Jeans. I knew at the time, I'm from Lachine, they're from Lachine, I'm putting on my first song I'm going to play. Somehow I got a digital copy of 125, probably using my little iRiver because you could hook it up and do that with it at the time. I played 125, and here's Eric teasing me, and I thought, oh, you just gone back and you saw that was my song, you know? No, dude, my dad had those. My dad had JB and the Playboys, that album, and I digitized them, and I listened to them. And I think, holy fuck, that's amazing. Some guy out in Calgary, through his dad's record collection, this guy who made the whole fucking connection to the goddamn Vinyl Countdown to start with, because he told Keith McNally and he told me, you guys should meet. And we did. And we had this thing and Vinyl Countdown was born and all these connections somehow come together. And now I'm thinking, whoa, dude, you're back in that other world. What happened to that cozy little world with your son? Well, I'm trying to connect them somehow, and they are connected. And the fact that this guy in Calgary is commenting on a picture I posted on my Facebook page and saying his dad had the records and he liked them, and I'm thinking, well, that's pretty fucking neat. Somehow, does it not, or have I got a nice little bow here, or have I just got a big fucking knot? I think I've just got a big fucking knot trying to tie all this shit together. You know what I was also thinking? Why don't you just do a podcast, a Dixon James podcast, that's less than an hour long with just some songs? Because we've gone on for 22 minutes and 36 seconds already, and we're barely warmed up. Kind of a problem. Like, I could just sort of fade this out, put in another song, come back, and just pick up where we left off. If I just take time enough to take a breath. And we're back, if we ever left. Yeah, so Eric, Tip Tap Tip, Final Countdown, Keith McNally. And of course, what's his name? We're good friends with Eric. Well, yeah, well, the guy I said would be the sheriff to look after, you know, Eric's partner. That's the connection. Can't think of his name now. He's married. He's got two kids. The sensible one on the Final Countdown. The mature one. Joel. Squid Pod Joel. Do I want them to come to my basement and have Chuck meet them in that same ground? Or do I want to keep them out of my house? Maybe that's what it's coming down to. Maybe this is what it, where's this dividing line? Do you have a private life? Because this is my online life, and I keep it, and occasionally we meet in bars and have a beer together, but you always keep that safe line drawn. Or do you actually allow certain people into your real life? Full life. That's maybe where we're going with this. I don't know. I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. I just know I'm mighty proud of that basement. I'm mighty glad that last night I spent some time with Chuck down there going through all the artifacts. Yep, that's an old, that's a real original aluminum bar boy. And that's this and that's that. I was also thinking, Squid Paul Joel is a bit of a filmmaker. What would be very cool is if he came down and filmed me giving the bar tour. That would be cool. And just, what's this? You pick up a random object. Oh, that, well, it's a kola nut dish from Nigeria. That's where he'd stole the store the kola nuts and carved. And what's that? Well, that's the key to my room from Japan. I saved it. That whole building that was built during the bubble, that when I went back to Japan, I had, there's room 101. That was Ken's room. I had a hotel to fucking stay in that our company owned. Until the bubble burst, and it was knocked down. An entire fucking college, hotel, everything, razed to the fucking ground. Condos went up there. Gone. The company disappeared. Overnight. And I knew enough, my last trip back there, save that fucking key. Because that key and that connection to that company in Japan is what got me this fucking house in Scarborough. My luck. And getting to Japan and getting that job and getting that visa and getting flown to Hong Kong and working with this company on the way out and becoming drinking buddies with the president of the fucking company is what got me the house I have today. And that basement bar with all my stuff, old Playboy magazines, old, it's full of fucking treasures. It's fucking, I got my original six guns for Christ's sake. So there's the idea. Some people might say, well, that's boring. I don't think so. If you got any kind of a brain at all, you'd figure, holy fuck, this is a museum. This is cool. Yeah, I want in on this. So there you go. Keith, Joel, maybe Craig, maybe the other one. Not Picard, I don't think so, no. Picard wouldn't enjoy it anyway. It'd be too uncomfortable. No, no, sorry. Hey, nothing personal, except it's entirely personal. God, I guess I'm just not going to stop. I guess this is we're going to go for 30 minutes. Is that it? So back to the bar, digitizing records, playing with Chuck down there, and me leaving this Bluffers Park now to go back to digitize a little more. So for your listening pleasure, I might add, have we pretty well, did I leave anything out? I had a list I could call it up. I could just here open the iPad right now, sit in my car on my lap. Get back to her. Oh, yeah, I got a meeting there. Dolly Dawn. Okay, that's a list for the Harry Belafonte Calypso album. Ah, my new iMac. Hey, pretty, 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 pretty nice. I did not like iTunes 11 at first. I've gotten used to it. It works. I do love being able to have my songs on my MacBook and have them just sort of show up, you know, the shared library on my other one and just play the tunes. That's pretty neat. It's super fast, so putting together a podcast on GarageBand and just loading up GarageBand is great. There's a few programs that won't work anymore. I've got to update some software, but I like it. I'm happy. I got my new iMac. I'm happy with all the fucking toys I got. I'm happy that I got a job that's going to pay for all this crap, at least my company. I'm happy about a lot of things. Things are good. Okay, that's where we get boring. Fuck you and your happiness, asshole. I did have another quote. Did I find that about happiness? Oh, fuck, I'll never find it now. Happiness. Something about happiness. Church bombings in Nigeria. No, I didn't want to talk about that. Yeah, happiness, happiness, happiness. Being happy doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It means if you've decided to look beyond the imperfections. Now, I don't know where that came from, if I made that up. But it means, what does it mean? You compartmentalize? No, that can't be healthy. I guess it's the Buddhist idea of accepting things for what they are. But anyway, enough of that shit. We're not going down there. I got to get back. I got to get into the basement. I got to get chucked down there. Going to just treat myself. It's going to be warm to get back home and feel good to be back in that basement and do a little reading and little stuff. So, Dicks and Janes, boys and girls, you listeners out there, this is your Scarborough dude who's gone on for longer than usual at a time when I thought I was going to do less. It took me a while to get going on this baby, you can tell. New listeners, this is what you get. You don't like it? Fuck off. I don't care. It's not for you. And I mean that with every ounce of my soul. I really don't care. This is what I do. By the way, mistakes in the last one. I said Mark and Bob instead of Bob and Dave Broadbent. I even recorded things like Doug Dez so that I could actually add them in after over top. You'd hear this voice from the clouds saying, what he really means is this instead of that. He didn't mean this year. He meant that year. And make a funny voice. And I recorded them all and I was ready to put them all in. I thought, why the fuck bother? Hey, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to get years wrong, names wrong, dates wrong, places wrong. I'm going to make all kinds of fucking mistakes. Who the fuck cares? I'm not going that extra way of fixing it, netting it, because that's not what we do in the Dicks and Janes. We just blab. And blabbing is what we're going to stop doing right now. End blabbing. No more blabbing. This is it. Blabbing out. Blabbing over. Blab, 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 blab,
we ain't got no kind of feeling inside. Something that's gonna set your stuff on fire.
What's written on the back of the RCA Victor JB and the Playboys album. You see on the front, there's a big, bold Dyna Groove. Remember, this is a vinyl LP. Dyna Groove. Dyna Groove records are the product of RCA Victor's newly developed system of recording, which provides a spectacular improvement in the sound quality. Characteristics. 1. Brilliance and clarity, the original sound in startling definition. 2. Realistic presence, sound projected in photographic perspective. 3. Full-bodied tone, even when you listen at low level. 4. Surface noise virtually eliminated! 5. Inner groove distortion virtually eliminated! To solve these old and obstinate problems in disc recording, highly ingenious computers, quote, electronic brains, have been introduced to audio for the first time. These remarkable new electronic devices and processes grew out of an intense research program which produced notable advances in virtually every step of the recording science. The final test of any record is in the listening. Compare the sound of Dyna Groove recordings. Dyna Groove recordings are mastered on RCA magnetic tape. Now, isn't that great? Yeah. How far we've come. I believe that was 1966. The sounds of our household on a Sunday afternoon. I love it.